Every September, we think about the seven sorrows of Our Lady. Not only do we have a feast dedicated to this idea in the middle of the month, but the entire month as a whole is dedicated to this subject. Our Lady suffered terribly throughout her entire life. But of course, most of her sufferings and sorrows are centered around the mysteries of Christ, especially the mysteries of Holy Week. So during those events, we are thinking mainly about the sufferings of our Lord and His Passion, and we don't really have the time and attention to dedicate to the sufferings of Our Lady. So the Church very wisely dedicates a special time now in the fall every year to give this devotion the attention it deserves. In order to understand how much Our Lady suffered, we have to remember how much she loved her divine Son. Of course, all mothers feel the sufferings of their children as if they themselves were the ones suffering them. We see an example of this in the Gospel. The Canaanite woman, whose daughter was possessed by the devil, came to our Lord and asked Him to have pity on her. She didn't say, "Have pity on my daughter." She said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, because my daughter is grievously troubled by a devil." And of course, Our Lady loved Jesus more than any mother ever loved her son. He was her only son that she had raised with so much difficulty. He was the most amiable child that could ever possibly exist. But most importantly, not only was he her son, he was her God. And he had come to earth to enkindle the fire of the love of God in the heart of every human being. So we can only imagine what a great fire of charity he enkindled in the most pure heart of his holy mother, because she was completely devoid of any love for anything in this world. And she was filled with grace and consumed by the fire of the love of God to an extent that we can't imagine. But this great fire of the love of God that burned in her heart was turned into a terrible ocean of sadness at the time of the Passion of our Lord, because her sorrow was proportionate to her love for Him. Just as with us, if someone that we only know very casually suffers some misfortune, like maybe somebody at work or like that, we are a little bit disturbed, maybe. But if someone very close to us suffers exactly the same thing, it is a great sorrow for us. We are affected completely differently. So Saint Bernardine of Siena could say truly that if all of the sorrows of the world were united, they would not equal that of Our Lady. What a great mystery this is, and how hard for us to understand or even process such an extreme statement, and yet we know it is true. And Richard of St. Lawrence says something similar. He says, the more tenderly his mother loved, so much the more deeply was she wounded. So this is something we should be meditating on now in the month of September, and I wanted to talk about this subject today, and I wanted to go over a beautiful meditation that St. Alphonsus gives us about the fourth sorrow of Our Lady out of her seven, in which she met our Lord on His way to Calvary. This is the fourth station of the cross, too. And a lot of what St. Alphonsus says about this event is based on the revelations of Our Lady to St. Bridget. So this is a very interesting description he gives us. He says that Our Lady told St. Bridget that when the time of the Passion of our Lord was approaching, she was so filled with grief that her eyes were always filled with tears, because she thought about her beloved son that she was about to lose on earth. And the thought of losing him, especially losing him through such a terrible death, caused her to be filled with such great fear that she would have a cold sweat break out all over her body every time she thought about it. Finally, the inevitable time came, and our Lord went to tell his mother that he was now going to his death, and to tell her goodbye. This would have been on Holy Thursday, maybe after the Last Supper. And we can imagine that Our Lady must not have gotten any sleep that night at all. She was filled with grief, and which is prophesied in Jeremiah. He said, "Weeping, she hath wept in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. There is none to comfort her of them that were dear to her." And during the morning of Good Friday, this is still from the Revelations to Saint Bridget, Our Lady said that the disciples came one at a time to bring her news of the passion of our Lord as it progressed. And each one told her what he himself had seen. So one disciple came and told her of the trial of our Lord in the house of Caiaphas. Another one came and told her about how he was mocked in the house of Herod. And finally, Saint John came and he told her that now our Lord had been unjustly condemned to death by Pontius Pilate, even after Pilate said that he was guilty of no crime. And Saint John told her that at that very moment, our Lord was beginning to carry his cross to the place of his execution. And he told Our Lady to come with him and meet our Lord on the way of the cross and say goodbye for the last time. So Our Lady told St. Bridget that she went with St. John, and as they walked on the road, she saw the precious blood of our Lord already sprinkled on the ground as they walked through the streets to find him. So she knew that he had already passed through the street where they were. And so they took a shortcut to place Our Lady in front of our Lord on his path to Calvary. And she stood on a street corner and waited for him to arrive. And certainly while she was there, she would have been recognized by some of the Jews, either from her appearance or they could have guessed from her demeanor and seeing her in such terrible grief. They could have figured that she was the mother of Christ or at least some relation of his. And some of them would have probably mocked her and as the mother of a criminal who had been condemned to death, and as the mother of a false prophet. But she didn't listen to any of their blasphemies. She stood there and waited until she saw our Lord coming up the road, and she heard a great tumult coming up the street and saw a great crowd of people. And she saw our Lord being dragged along in the middle of everybody. And she saw all of the instruments of torment. She saw the cross he was carrying and the nails and the ropes that he was tied with. But as our Lord himself walked towards her, she could hardly recognize him because he was so disfigured. He was completely covered in wounds from head to foot. He had the crown of thorns on his head. His face was so covered in congealed blood that she could hardly even recognize him. She knew this was a fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah, who said, "We have seen him, and there is no sightliness. We have thought him as it were a leper." And so our Lord is hidden in a sense because he is so covered with wounds like a leper until he is almost unrecognizable. But she knew that it was him, and she was filled with great love and great sorrow at the same time. She was torn because, as St. Peter of Alcantara tells us, she wanted to behold him. And yet, on the other hand, she couldn't stand to see his terrible suffering. Finally, our Lord saw her, and she saw him, and he had to wipe the blood out of his eyes even to be able to see her at all. And they were both filled with terrible and unimaginable grief. Our Lady certainly did not faint, but her sorrow was so great that it would have caused 1,000 deaths in anyone else. But she was miraculously kept alive. And Saint Anselm tells us very beautifully that at this moment, Our Lady would have run forward and tried to embrace Our Lord, but the guards grabbed her and pushed her aside, and they dragged Our Lord onward so Our Lady could do nothing but follow him to the place of his execution. Even though she knew what terrible grief it would cause her to see him nailed to the cross and hanging there until his death, she would not abandon him because she loved him so much that she wanted to be with him until his last moment. When we think of the great sufferings of Our Lady when she saw the death of her son, we have to apply this lesson to ourselves, that we have to carry our cross here on earth too. We have to suffer with our Lord, as she did, more than any of us. And we have to suffer with patience also the way she did. Saint John Chrysostom points out an interesting fact. He says that in all the sufferings of Christ, he always suffered alone, except in carrying his cross. There he was helped by the Simon of Cyrene. And he explains this by saying that our Lord did this so that we would understand that the cross of our Lord is not enough without our own cross too, that we have to carry our own cross also. In a way, Simon the Cyrenian represents all of us. We have to endure with patience our sufferings in this life so that we will be worthy to die with Christ and be resurrected with him in heaven. There was one time that our Lord appeared to a holy sister named Sister Diomira of Florence. And he said, "Think of me and love me, and I will think of thee and love thee." And he gave her a bunch of flowers along with a cross, in order to show her that the consolations of the saints in this world always come with the cross. They come with suffering because it is the cross that unites us to God. Let us pray to Our Lady to obtain for us the grace to bear with patience the crosses that God sends us. And think about the fact that both she and our Lord were completely innocent, and yet they suffered more than we will ever suffer. So how can we who have done so much evil complain about what we have to endure to make even just a small amount of atonement in this world for all of our sins? How can we refuse to carry our cross too? Let us ask Our Lady to help us endure all of our sufferings in this world with patience, and she will obtain for us that grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.